Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Merry Christmas. Thank you. Did you see what we just did there? I said, Merry Christmas. You said, Merry Christmas in return. What are we saying when we say Merry Christmas? What does that greeting mean? When I said Merry Christmas to you, I meant that it is my hope, it is my desire, it is my wish that your celebration of Christmas be happy and joyful and blessed. And when you said Merry Christmas to me, you meant that it is your hope, your desire, your wish that my celebration of Christmas be happy and joyful and blessed. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say that. I appreciate that. We talk this way a lot this time of year. We talk a lot about what we want Christmas to be, what we hope Christmas will be for ourselves and for others. And so we say, Merry Christmas. And we say, May your days be merry and bright. And we say, Let your heart be light. And we say, Let there be peace on earth. In all of these different ways, we are expressing a hope, a longing for what Christmas might be, for what Christmas could be. Even the secular world, though it does not believe in Jesus, even there they say that in the spirit of Christmas, love will triumph and will be able to put together a world of unity and peace. Christmas becomes a longing for what could be. All of this sounds very good. We hope these things will happen. But are they actually happening? Peace, goodwill, love, unity. Have we arrived there yet? I remember last year I said Merry Christmas. You said Merry Christmas back. I remember last year we said, Let there be peace on earth. It's been a year since then. How did that go? Did we attain that peace? Are we enjoying that Christmas promise? 2 minutes on the internet tells me no. No, we're not there yet. Will we ever arrive there? Experience tells us no. This world is filled with conflict and violence and injustice and selfishness. We can talk about peace and goodwill, but we're only talking about what might be, what could be, not what is. And if that's true, then Christmas becomes nothing more than an ideal. It is a goal, something to strive for. And if Christmas is a goal, something to strive for, then what we really need at Christmas is advice. We need advice, direction. Somebody needs to tell us what to do in order to gain that peace and that goodwill, that love and that unity, that merry and bright feeling. Advice like, for example, be a better person. Be generous. Be good, for goodness sake. Christmas is peace that could be, and love that might be, and unity that's possible, but it's up to us to get there. This is what Christmas is for a lot of people. Christmas is all about good advice. At Christmas, we tell each other what we need to do in order to make things better. But I wonder if you noticed something about the account of Jesus' birth that was given to us in Luke chapter 2 that I read to you a moment ago. When Luke tells us about the birth of Jesus, he is not describing a goal, something that might be, something that could happen. doesn't begin the story of Jesus' birth by saying, "This is what I wish for," or "This is what I dreamed last night." No, Luke tells us about something that actually happened. Something that has happened. He tells us about Caesar Augustus, ruler of the Roman Empire, and a census, and a governor of Syria, and a man and a woman in Nazareth. Real people, real places, real history. This isn't about what might happen. This is about what actually took place. In other words, according to Luke and Matthew and John, Christmas is not advice about what you need to do in order to make the world a better place. Christmas is good news. It's not advice. It's good news. There's a difference. Good advice is counsel about what you must do. Good news is a report about what has already been done. Good advice urges you to make something happen. Good news lets you know that something has already happened. Good advice says it's all up to you to act. Good news says someone else has acted. Let's say there's an enemy coming toward a town. The town is afraid and wants to defend itself. What that town needs is good advice. Good military advice. Someone needs to explain to them what they need to do, where the walls should be built, where the trenches should be dug, where the tanks should be parked. But what if a great king suddenly shows up and intercepts and defeats the enemy before it gets to the town? What does the town need then? Doesn't need advice anymore. Simply needs to hear the good news. Somebody needs to tell the town the good news. The town doesn't need to hear, "Here's what you need to do." They need to hear, "Here's what has been done for you." The good news, the glad tidings of great joy. Christmas, according to Luke and Matthew and John, is not about what could happen if you and I try hard enough. It's about something that has happened, something that has already been done. For you and for all people. Many people believe that the gospel message of Christmas, the gospel message of Jesus, is all advice. Jesus is there solely to tell us what to do, to be an example for us. Joseph and Mary are there to tell us what to do, to be an example for us. The shepherds are there to show us what to do, to be an example for us. In fact, according to many, that's basically the purpose of the whole Bible. To show us what to do. Give us good advice. And it's all up to us. Many Christians even talk this way when it comes to salvation itself. When it comes to being right with God and being forgiven and being in heaven someday. They proclaim these things as advice. What you have to do. Salvation is something you have to wrestle and struggle for, something you have to perform. Here are the steps you need to take. Here are the words you have to say. Here are the prayers you need to pray. The gospel is all good advice. But the Christian gospel is not advice. It's not what you have to do. It's all about what God has done. What God did. God, who is rich in mercy, in His great love for us, while we were yet sinners and dead in our trespasses and sins, He came to us. God came down to save us. God rescued us. God did it. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." That's not good advice. That's good news. That's not what you have to do. That's what God in Christ has done for you. For you, Christ was born. For you, Christ died in payment for your sins. For you, Christ rose again in victory over sin and death and hell. Now, of course, Christmas and Christianity as a whole has huge implications for how you are to live. Titus chapter 2, for example, lets us know that being saved by grace through faith as a free gift means we renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and strive to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. That's true. That's important. But that isn't the main thing. That's not the starting point. Christmas and Christianity as a whole is above all else a message that you are saved not by what you do, but by what God has done for you. Listen to what Titus goes on to say in chapter 3. He says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's good news. Christmas is good news. So rest and rejoice in that good news for you tonight, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Merry Christmas.